Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. The FDA is rolling out a new campaign to discourage teenagers from using e-cigarettes or vaping. According to the government, more than 2 million middle and high school students used e-cigarette devices last year. So the FDA is putting posters in high school bathrooms across the country and launching a series of online ads like this one, which resembles a sort of science fiction story showing worm-like creatures infiltrating the bodies of teenagers.
There's an epidemic spreading. Scientists say it can change your brain. It can release dangerous chemicals like formaldehyde into your bloodstream. It can expose your lungs to acrolein, which can cause irreversible damage. It's not a parasite, not a virus, not an infection. It's vaping.
Yikes. The FDA is giving e-cigarette companies like Juul the most popular 60 days to address teen use of their products, or they'll be removed from the market. Earlier this summer, Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey announced that her office is investigating concerns that e-cigarette makers are marketing directly to minors, which is illegal. Well, joining us now is Dr. Mike Siegel. He's a researcher and professor at the Boston University School of Public Health. He's an expert in tobacco control and public health. Thanks for coming in. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Anthony.
Really appreciate it. First, what's your response to the FDA taking on Juul and other e-cigarette companies like this, threatening to remove their products from the market if they don't come up with a plan to discourage teen use?
Well, I think it's certainly a good thing that the FDA is taking this issue head on. Vaping has become a problem, particularly because of the Juul, because of the addiction potential of the Juul device, because it delivers nicotine so effectively to the bloodstream. So I think it's important that they take it on, and that's a good thing. I do have an issue, though, with the way they're going about it.
Tell me what that is.
Well, I think that, first of all, if you look at this ad campaign, you know, I think this is kind of the typical scare tactics that we often fall back on. And we know that these scare tactics really don't work with adolescents. They're going to take a look at these messages, and they're just going to really dismiss them because they don't jive with what they see. When they take when they inhale on a Juul, you know, they don't have worms immediately crawling through their skin. It doesn't, you know, these worms, it looks like you're going into the upside down or something.
Right.
You know, this is not something that they see in their life, and
but what about
the message?
Yeah, but what about the message, formaldehyde in your lungs, other stuff in your bloodstream? I mean, there was some pretty scary stuff that was being described in that PSA that we just listened to.
Yeah, you know, I think that the you know, in general, I think that in some ways the reason why kids are vaping is because there is some risk associated with it.
I see.
And so I think
kind of cool and dangerous.
It's cool and it's dangerous without, you know, kids understand that it's not as dangerous as smoking. So it's kind of a way to be able to take a risk without really severely endangering your health. And so, you know, it's not clear to me that those types of messages will work. There are public health approaches that can be taken that have been shown to work in the past.
All right, I want to talk about those, but let's just listen to one more from this Juul, from this sort of anti-Juul campaign, if you will. And then I want to get your opinion on what actually works. So here's another very kind of sci-fi type ad that shows a teenager with their mouths replaced by vapes.
Vaping can deliver nicotine to your brain, reprogramming you to crave more and more. Don't get hacked.
So that's another example. Again, that's not the kind of ad that you think would necessarily work. So what does work? What have we learned works?
Well, there's two things that we know work in terms of reducing the youth use of harmful products. The first one is raising the price. There's no question. We know that from tobacco. We know that from alcohol. When you raise the price of a product, it reduces youth consumption. And so I think that what is needed is increasing the tax on electronic cigarettes. In some states, there really is no
because the
tax.
E-cigarette makers aren't going to raise prices on their own, obviously.
No. I mean, the competition is really to try to lower the price as much as they can. And, you know, this is a product that's affordable. It's certainly a lot more affordable to kids than buying a pack of cigarettes, which may cost $12 or $13. You can get a pod for, you know, $3. So I think that increasing the tax on e-cigarettes would definitely help reduce use of these products. Of course, I think at the same time as we increase the tax on e-cigarettes, we should increase the tax even more on real cigarettes, because we need to maintain that price differential.
Interesting. I want to ask you if there's a comparison that we can make here about anti-tobacco advertisements that earned a reputation of being quite effective. So here are two examples from the Truth campaign. This one is from 2000, and it shows activists laying out body bags outside of a big tobacco office. Let's listen.
You know what? We're going to leave this here for you so you can see what 1,200 people actually look like.
So 1,200 people, the number of folks that tobacco kills every day. And here's an ad from 2018 that accuses big tobacco of targeting people in lower income communities.
How far does big tobacco go to keep people hooked on their deadly, addictive products?
Big tobacco designed cigarettes to be more addictive by genetically engineering the tobacco itself.
And it's ravaging struggling America. A staggering 72% of remaining smokers come from lower-income communities.
So do those ads like that, Mike Siegel, have the same sort of problem as the Juul ads we were listening to, or the anti-e-cigarette ads that we were listening to before? That is, they're designed to scare.
There's a big difference between the ads, and I think that the difference is that in the first set of ads, they're really talking about the health effects. They're scaring people that, you know, if you use this product, you're going to get cancer. And that's just not something that kids experience. This is 40, 50 years down the road. Kids really care about what's happening today.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work. But the two anti-smoking ads we just heard, they're not talking about health effects. They're really talking about youth rebellion against adult authority or corporate authority telling them what to do. Adolescents don't like to be told what to do. And so I think that same idea could be brought into anti-vaping campaigns. I think the message can't come from the government. It can't come from adult authorities. It can't come from teachers and principals. It has to come from kids themselves. So if they had peers, athletes, other popular kids in their schools who were coming out and saying, hey, look, you know, this is really stupid. You're losing control. Not talking about the health effects, but talking about independence and autonomy. If you get hooked on nicotine, you know, you're running to the bathroom between every period, you don't have control. That's not a sign of independence and youth. So I think the message really needs to come from kids, and it needs to be a message of you're going to lose freedom and independence and autonomy, not, you know, you're going to have worms crawling all over your skin.
Yeah, because they just obviously aren't going to buy that. Yeah. It's one of the challenges here is that, I mean, e-cigarettes have been marketed, among other things, to get people off of real cigarettes. So there's this, it's debatable, but there is this debatable health benefit that e-cigarettes can offer. So on the one hand, we're discouraging kids from a product that is being promoted as being better than cigarettes.
I think that is exactly the problem. And I think that's why we've fallen into this trap, because we haven't told kids the truth. Kids don't understand what this product really is. And I think that we need messages that explain to them that this is a smoking cessation product. I mean, that's what electronic cigarettes are. Essentially, they're a crutch. They're a crutch for adult smokers who are so addicted to smoking that they can't even quit unless they're actually holding a device that looks like a cigarette and inhaling it like a cigarette. And I think if kids understood that, they would view it differently. You know, their youth are viewing this as this new, cool digital product that we can plug into our USB ports on our computer. We can sneak in puffs on it in school, in class, without the teacher noticing. It's a cool thing. They see YouTube videos of kids blowing vapor rings, becomes very cool. I think they need to know that what this product is really all about. And because we haven't been forthright in explaining to kids how these differ from cigarettes, we've kind of just lumped them in with cigarettes. They don't understand that these are smoking cessation devices, and they're not really cool. They're actually crutches for smokers who are desperate.
really interesting. That's Mike Siegel. He's a researcher and professor at Boston University School of Public Health, talking about the effort to discourage teenagers from using e-cigarettes. Dr. Siegel, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
There's more ahead. This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.